A major Smash Brothers tournament has been shut down by Nintendo and fans want their freedom. Plus, a Genesis game for the never-released Sega VR headset is now available on Modern VR. Tonight is November 22nd, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right, it's me. I think we got a hype train going in chat now on Twitch. Awesome. Thank you so much. A whole bunch of people who resubscribed. I'll talk about that at the end of the show. But hello, welcome to the 1122 edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Sunday night, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. If not, we tape the show live each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That is where I try to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But if you cannot be here, I completely understand because it's a Sunday night. And there's always, you know, family stuff, so I completely understand. So you can join us in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, at any point during the week. And that's where we share links in some of the text chat channels throughout the week. So you can still be with the community, and I'll probably still read some stuff from that. And that's where I also determine where I'm going to post things or what I'm going to talk about here on the show. So, the first thing I wanted to mention is more about us and VOG Network, and I'm going to go ahead and say it here at the beginning of the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about it a little bit later. So we actually have a merch store now. So just in time for Black Friday, if you want a Voice of Geeks Network face mask that says VOG on it, or a shirt that says VOG on it, or a coffee mug that has My Little Wolfie logo on it, go to vognetwork.com/shop. Some of this actually does go towards, some of the profit goes toward VOG. So it's another way to support VOG outside of just bits and donations on Twitch or subscriptions and stuff like that. So we are obviously going to add more stuff over time. We're going to rotate out things. But right now, I just slapped the VOG logo thing on some things and put up the merch store. It's powered by Streamlabs. But if you go to vognetwork.com/shop, you can actually get some of that stuff. Now, the caveat I'm going to say, because I want to be forthcoming, as much as we'd love you to buy stuff from it, and I hope you do, I have not actually received any of these yet, so I don't know how it actually looks. I only know how the mock-ups look. Hopefully, at some point very soon, I'll actually get the shirts in, like get some of this stuff in so I can see what it actually looks like. So I don't know exactly what the quality is. Other people are usually have been favorable towards Streamlabs merch store because a lot of Twitch streamers use it, a lot of YouTubers use it. But I haven't seen our stuff. I've only seen it in mock-up form. So vognetwork.com/shop and come support us there if you want. And like I said, some of the price of that actually does go towards the company, because we do have web hosting, we have other expenses with this being an actual small business. So that's kind of what it helps towards, which is exactly what all the bits and donations and subscriptions on Twitch go to. This is just yet another way. So I'm not going to be pimping it all the time, but it is vognetwork.com/shop. There is on our Twitch page, there's even a panel that shows the stuff. It's down below if you're watching on Twitch, or you'll actually see a shop link at the top of vognetwork.com. You'll actually see a little link up there that says shop, and that'll take you to it. So enough about us. Let's talk about some updates on me and my personal ordering of stuff. Because as I talked about last week, I got a PlayStation 5, but my Xbox Series X was did not actually come. And I got the email that said, you might get it by the end of the year, so I'm getting it tomorrow, is essentially what it boils down to. And so I ordered through Amazon, and so Amazon didn't get enough Xbox Series X's to cover all the people who ordered on September 22nd. They oversold their pre-orders. And I noticed that some people who ordered like in a second or third wave in November actually had a ship date of like December 4th. So I was like, okay, well, hopefully that means good news. And it looks like, looking at deleted Reddit posts, because whenever anybody posts about this on Reddit, the moderators delete it. But Google still indexes it, so you can still get into the discussion. It just doesn't show up on the subreddit. Is that they went by the email confirmation time. So the time that you actually got the email confirmation, that was the order. And those were kind of out of order because I remember I didn't receive it immediately when I got the Xbox Series X. And I didn't receive it immediately with the PS5 either. But it looks like it's going on that time. So I ordered at 11:57 a.m. is when I got the email saying, we have your order in the system. Because people who ordered and got it at 11:55 a.m., they got theirs last week. 11:56 got theirs at the end of this past week. So that's what that's where that stands. So I have it coming tomorrow, so I'll finally have the Xbox Series X and be able to talk about all the games that aren't on it. So there's that. But I made the joke of which am I going to get first, because I also ordered that Outrun Arcade 1-Up cabinet, which does not have Spy Hunter on it. I know my chat loves Spy Hunter, but does not have Spy Hunter on it. I actually thought that would come first because I got a UPS tracking number for that like on Tuesday. However, it's just the shipping label. They haven't actually sent it over to UPS. So I have the tracking number, but it's still kind of sitting in limbo, and it will get shipped at some point in the next couple weeks. So I thought I might get that first, but no. The Xbox Series X, fingers crossed, it's in Georgia. It's en route tomorrow. Fingers crossed, that will get here first, but then the Arcade 1-Up cabinet should be in like a week or two or something, but it's a heavy, heavy box. If you are going to thinking about getting the any of the cabinets that have the bench seat, because I think that's what this is, note that the box is 102 pounds. That's the box that it comes in. Now, according to the UPS shipping label, it's a 102-pound package. I believe the Star Wars Arcade 1-Up that just has the riser, I think that was only 80 pounds. So, we'll see. Pod Culture says, I may get a bag of cat food instead of that Xbox One, or Xbox Series X. And Tiger Claw is joining the VR revolution, by the way. He said, so I ordered the Oculus Quest 2 256 gig version at Amazon today. Should be here on Tuesday. Also ordered a USB Type-C cable, which supposedly works for it. So there's a... that's for the Oculus Link, so if you have a powerful enough computer, you can run VR titles over the Oculus Link to the Oculus Quest, and it's just like having one of the high-end PC headsets here. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope it works great, and I hope you enjoy it a whole lot. Pod Culture says the Star Wars one was 90 pounds. So the Outrun cabinet doesn't have the riser, but it does have the bench, so it still adds 12 pounds. It's heavy, so just realize you're probably going to need like a, you know, you're going to need something to wheel it around because you're not going to be able to carry that thing around. Hopefully, I'll have that at some point, and then I will then do when I get that. I will shoot some video while I'm putting it together, but it's not going to be as in depth as the Star Wars one because building the actual cabinet is going to be 98% similar to the Star Wars cabinet that I've already done a video on. It's just instead of putting in a flight yoke, I'm going to be putting in a steering wheel. but the rest of the cabinet is identical. So I will only be shooting like building the bench area and putting in the pedals and how that works. And I'll have a video for that. But the Xbox Series X I'm going to be getting tomorrow. And then I'll be able to take pictures of how it looks in my setup. So I'm excited about that. And my Christmas is almost done because that was all I was going to be getting myself. I did get to play the PlayStation 5 a little bit more, and we even did get a comment from E3VL on this a little bit. But and he was kind of talking about some of the same stuff I'm talking about. So thank you for your input. And also, he had gone through some stuff before I did. But I will say my second platinum trophy ever on PlayStation was on Astro's Playroom. I actually platinumed Astro's Playroom, which is the pack-in game. During that time, I did learn, because last week I was talking about all the references, and I'm like, there's no Katamari Damacy reference. I was sad because that's my favorite game. If somebody asks you what my favorite video game is, I always say Katamari Damacy. And then I have to usually explain what the game is, because most people have never heard of it that ask me that question. But there actually is a reference. It's one of the trophies. One of the hidden trophies references Katamari Damacy. So my heart is happy now. But I was actually able to platinum it. I even did beat the final boss, which I didn't think I was going to be able to do, because I needed to in order to do one of the trophies. Normally you don't. You don't actually have to beat that final boss to get all the trophies, but one of the not hidden trophies, you need to either do before you unlock the final boss or after you beat the final boss, because when the final boss is active and you haven't beaten it yet, you cannot actually get that trophy. You cannot fulfill the requirements during that time. So just know that if you need to have little astrobots follow you around, you need to either do it early or you need to beat the final boss and then they'll follow you around again. But I enjoyed the platformer. I enjoyed the game, and I got a platinum on it. And so the only other game I got a platinum on was Persona 5 Royal, because I put 120 hours into it. One of the other things that I did, though, is I bought on launch day the disc for No Man's Sky back in 2016, back when we thought it was going to be something and it wasn't. And now it actually is what we thought it would be in 2016. But I bought it then and I kept the disc. And I'm bringing this up because No Man's Sky has a PS5 version that you can upgrade to. And I was like, I don't exactly know how this upgrade would work. And so now I know. And so what I'm going to actually describe is the complicated process compared to the Xbox Series X, the complicated process of getting a PS5 version of a PS4 game you already own. So the first thing you do is when you put the disc in. So this is if you have a physical game. You put the disc in, and then it will install the PS4 version. And as far as I can tell from what I read from other people, you have to have the PS4 version installed of the game. I already had it installed on my external hard drive, so I was fine there. But then you go down and you view the product in the UI. So you go down, you put the No Man's Sky disc in, it shows up, it's the PS4 version, it'll say PS4 on the top. And you go down and there's like a little three-dot button that has little three dots. You click on that and you go to view product. Because the big button says play, and that plays the PS4 version. You hit that, and then it goes to the store, and then there you can see the download the PS5 version. So then you download the entirety of the PS5 game. It is a separate game with its own separate save files, by the way. Then when you highlight the game, when you put the disc in, you hit start on the icon at the top, and it will say manage version or something like that. And that is where you can switch between the PS5 version or the PS4 version. And No Man's Sky has another wrinkle, is that it does have cross-save, but what you have to do is you load up the PS4 version of your game, and there's a button there that says transfer my saves to the PS5. which then you do that. And I actually did not do this part because I'm like, I'm going to leave those in PS4 land. I'm just going to make new games for the PS5. Then when you go into the PS5 version, you can download the saves. I'm assuming there's some cloud save thing going on that No Man's Sky is doing. And then you can download the saves in PS5 format, and then you can play. Rob Roberts says, not to be that guy starting a stupid system war, but this is clearly a department where Xbox is better. Yes, I agree. Because Xbox, I believe, it just does the smart delivery. And it's like, oh, you have an Xbox Series X now. Let me give you the stuff that you need to make it work. Or, you know, you are on an Xbox One X, so I can just ignore that other stuff and, you know, have this version here. But here it is a different version of the game. And I believe you even still need to have the PS4 version installed if you have the disc. If you bought it digitally, I believe you can just go to its store page and there it knows you own No Man's Sky digitally, and then you can download the PS5 version, and that's the only version you have to have. But it does need the PS4 disc in the drive if you bought it as a physical disc, and then it will let you play the PS5 version. So, once you get past that, it loads fast, it's great, except for one thing. There's one thing that makes me sad. And it's the fact that the HDR is completely messed up on the PlayStation 5. Now, there was an update, I think the Beyond update last year, added HDR, 4K HDR, to the PlayStation 4 Pro and to the Xbox One X. And so it looked great. It actually looked great. However, the PlayStation 5, there's an issue, and I'm gonna be playing a video. I put this on my Twitter feed, but I'm gonna be playing a video here, of me playing, and it's a smooth 60 frames a second. It's all that good stuff, but it is extremely oversaturated when you see anything with a whole bunch of that's very lighted, and so especially when you're outside and the sun's bright, you can't see the sky. And what's actually happening here is that I believe the HDR is being run twice. The game is doing HDR, and then the PlayStation 5 is doing a passive HDR on top of that, because the HDR is at the system level. So the fix for this right now is you turn off HDR at the system level. You go into the settings of the PlayStation 5, you disable HDR, and then you can see everything. So that's the fix right now. Apparently, it is a known issue at Hello Games, and I hope that they fix it soon, because I would love to see it there. I got interested in this again because Rob Roberts over at Orange Lounge Radio, he actually streamed his Xbox playthrough of No Man's Sky. And I was like, oh, they've added a lot of stuff, and I should actually really try it. And the nice thing is, I was like, well, I don't want to play the Xbox Series X version. And the reason is because I have OCD and all the achievements on the Xbox Series X are actually in multiples of 8 or 16 because of, you know, binary numbers and stuff like that. And I like the fact that my gamer score ends in 0 or 5. And so I don't want a gamer score that ends in 8 or 6 or 2 or anything like that. So I don't want to play it there, but they do actually have crossplay across all platforms. So if I played on my PS5, I can add Rob's friend code, because they actually have friend codes like Nintendo, on his Xbox Series X, and we can play together. Or I could play my Steam version with my VR, stuff like that. So I may still get to play with Rob, because he's now actually farther than he's ever gotten before. I've played it a couple times since, but I never got the freighter or anything like that. So, Fifth Dream says, just get 5 8-point achievements. The problem is I can't stop. So I would always be trying, and I would be doing the math and being like, okay, I've got to stop once I get back to 0-5. I can't play this game anymore. And I can't do that. I am not strong enough. I already own the game on PlayStation. I own the game on Steam. I've already double-dipped. I know it's on Game Pass, but I can get it with... I can do fine with what I've got and still play with other people that I know, because it is completely cross-play between all things. Let's talk about the past a little bit. And I actually read this, and this is an extremely meaty article. So I'm not even going to read it. But it's from one of my new favorite charities out there, the Video Game History Foundation. And this is Frank Cifaldi's charity. They do a lot of the stuff where they find like prototypes and put them back together and release them. Or I know Frank does a lot with finding those like all-in-one consoles because they're all mini NESs. Basically, around the world, they took an NES and would put it inside these little TV devices, and they would make their own games for it. And they're very popular in like China and Japan and stuff like that. And so he collects those and plays those, and he finds a bunch of stuff like that. I had somebody that also worked with them with the Miiverse preservation project. That was through the Video Game History Foundation. So I love these guys, and I like promoting them whenever I can, because they always do some really interesting stuff and they delve really deep into the technical details. And this is actually about a VR headset that was going to be affordable in the early 90s. So you may want to get something aged if you play the drinking game, because this is, we're going back to 1993 and the vaporware of 1993. So what we're actually talking about and showing is at CES in 1993, the summer CES 1993 in Chicago, Sega unveiled the Sega VR headset for the Sega Genesis. And this was a VR headset where you could play VR titles at home for $200. The headset was going to be $200. And it was obviously never released. The only time it was ever seen in public was this summer CES 1993 in Chicago, which there's a YouTube video of somebody's home videos, a lot of like my old E3 videos. They look a lot like this, but this was not me. I did not take this video. Groove Raider did. It is embedded in the gamehistory.org/SegaVR article if you want to watch it, if you're listening to this on the podcast. But it was shown there and never released, and no prototypes exist. That's the important part. None of the prototypes, this headset that was at Summer CES 1993, does not exist. Nobody has it. But it was obviously working, and it was in development and working. And what they were showing at CES was a game called Iron Hammer for the Genesis. And it is a 16-bit game. It looks and sounds like a Genesis game. It's played on a Genesis with a modified cartridge port, I'm sure. The VR headset would plug into port 2, and you would have your controller in port 1. So it was essentially just tracking up, down, left, and right. That's all it really tracked. It did not track roll, so if you tilted your head from side to side, nothing happened. But if you looked up and if you looked down, if you looked left and if you looked right, that input, it's sent to the Genesis, and that's how it handled what happened on the screen. And then you had just a standard Genesis controller, and you were playing a game where you were shooting things in 3D. Pod Culture says, this looks like my mixed reality headset, kinda. So what it actually looks like, since you're on the podcast feed and you don't actually see this, is it actually looks like the headsets of today. It's mostly black. It has one red line across the top, kind of like it's not lit up, but it kind of does remind you of like Kit from Knight Rider a little bit. But it doesn't light up or go back and forth like that, or a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. But it's very much black with the red stripe on it, very 80s, early 90s laser aesthetic or something like that. This is all we had, was this video from Summer CES 1993. That's all we had until very recently. Somebody came across a CD-ROM of the source code to one of the games for Sega's VR, one of the unreleased games for Sega VR. So it's called Nuclear Rush. It's basically, it's a tank game that you're basically going around and you're shooting other tanks. They found the source code to it. Now realize, they don't have the VR docs. They didn't have the docs for the VR. They didn't have the API for the docs. All they had was the source code to the ROM, which was commented, and every stuff on all that stuff. So what this means is that they sent it to one of their people, one of the preservationists who is very well versed in Genesis development. They even talked to the original developer a little bit to figure stuff out, and they reverse engineered Nuclear Rush, and they got it working. So now, here at the Video Game History Foundation, they have actually released Nuclear Rush, the ROM, along with a modified version of the DGen emulator, a Genesis emulator, that works with OpenVR. So you can use your current VR headset, and I actually did this. It actually works. I used it with my Valve Index. I'm sure that Tiger Claw will be able to use this on his Oculus Quest 2 if he wanted, and it works. So the way this game is actually played, you download it from gamehistory.org. You have to download the emulator, and then you'll also download the ROM. And then it actually kind of it pretty much works out of the box at that point. You'll just drag the ROM onto the executable, and it'll actually work. But the way you play this is that you're just in this tank, and you can look left or right, and the cockpit actually moves. It doesn't move your tank or whatever you're in. But you look left or right, and you can look up or down up to 30 degrees in either direction. And then you hit what is basically the A button, whatever you have the A button mapped to shoot things, and the B button, whatever you have the B button mapped to, will fire a missile. And that's it. And then you're using the D-pad to move forward, back, or left or right, and that moves your actual vehicle around. But you're actually playing in VR. And what's interesting is it doesn't account for roll, so there is no roll. Like, so if you tilt your head left to right, nothing happens. But when you move left to right on the D-pad, it actually does roll a little bit. So you might... This is not a good first VR experience. The other thing is, it's running at 15 frames a second. And there's a video that they have put out on their YouTube channel. I'm currently playing it on Twitch. And you can see that it's at 15 frames a second. That is as headache-inducing as you think it is. It is stereoscopic 3D, but some of it is very jarring. It's not very realistic stereoscopic 3D. There are sometimes things where it's kind of off between the left and the right eye, because the way that the Genesis works is that it sent you the left eye. The reason it's 15 frames a second is because it's a 30 frames per second game. One frame is your left eye, the next frame is your right eye. And what it would do is it would hold the frame for two frames on the left eye and then hold it. So it's a little jarring the way it works, and that's how they got it to work with the Genesis. This game does actually work on real hardware, although there is no Sega VR headset. But it does actually run. The emulator was only modified to work with OpenVR and to bring that stereoscopic view to modern VR headsets. So you can try it out. Don't do it for long. I played it for today for a little bit, and I had to take it off after a little bit, because really it should be 90 frames a second. 90 hertz is what you should be working playing at. And it shouldn't move you. It shouldn't roll like this game does when you tilt left or right, when you move the vehicle left or right. It shouldn't do that to you. But we know that now, and they didn't know that in 1993 when this game was written. And the Breakman says, by today's standards, this looks like a fun 5-minute diversion and something, not something to ever play again. Pretty much, yes. I completely agree with you on that. But it is actually an almost finished game. It looks like a finished game. It has music. It has all the sound effects. It even has like 32 worlds. Like, this game is practically complete. So it's kind of interesting to play it. It is a fully playable game. You can also play it without VR. You don't need a VR headset, because it tries to detect the headset. And if it doesn't detect the headset, it plays it in 2D mode, and you can play a very blah shooter, tank shooter, if you want. And Orange Wright says, a case of way too ahead of its time. The technology just wasn't there. Sega is a lot like that, because like the Dreamcast was ahead of its time. Sega does a lot of things that are ahead of its time, and then everybody catches up later. And the Breakman even says, Sega was great at being ahead of its time. I agree. So it always amazes me what the game history Video Game History Foundation has been able to do with all the knowledge that they have of things and the things that they're able to salvage and preserve. So they are now quickly becoming one of my favorite charities out there in terms of the video game space. So I think it's awesome. Maybe someday I'll have one of them here on the show to talk about this stuff. We've already had somebody who was here about the who talked to us about the Miiverse Preservation Project. He actually used to be an old listener of the show way back when, in 2005, 2006, when we started. So maybe I'll finally get Frank Cifaldi on. That would be nice. And the Brickman says the Sega Saturn was underrated. Just saying. I agree. I actually have a Sega Saturn now. I did not have a Sega Saturn when it came out, but it was one of the consoles I got later in life. So let's talk about, since we're talking about emulators and emulation, let's talk about another emulated title that is not making the original copyright holders happy. It's Nintendo. We're talking about Nintendo, and we're talking about Smash Brothers Melee. You're like, wait a minute, but you can play GameCube games on a TV. Yes, but not in the way that's needed right here. Polygon reports that the Big House, one of the premier events in competitive Super Smash Brothers, must cancel the tournaments the organizers had scheduled for early December after receiving a cease and desist demand from Nintendo of America. The Big House has been held with no problem every year since 2011. Nintendo's issue this year is related to the Big House organizers' plans to use Slippy, S-L-I-P-P-I, an unapproved rollback netcode that makes Super Smash Brothers Melee playable online, a tool necessary for the online event. On November 10th, Big House organizers announced that they would move the tournament online, and December 4th through 6th were the dates, and began taking registrations. Now, with Nintendo cease and desist, the event has been canceled. Nintendo's statement on this, and this is why Nintendo says that they did this. They said, quote, Nintendo appreciates the love and dedication from fighting game community fans that they have for the Super Smash Bros. Series. We have partnered with numerous Super Smash Bros. Tournaments in the past and have hosted our own online and offline tournaments for the game. And we plan to continue to support that support in the future. Unfortunately, the upcoming Big House tournament announced plans to host an online tournament for Super Smash Bros. Melee that requires use of illegally copied versions of the game in conjunction with a mod called Slippy during their online event. Nintendo therefore contacted the tournament organizers to ask them to stop. They refused, leaving Nintendo with no choice but to step in and protect its intellectual property and brands. Nintendo cannot condone or allow piracy of its intellectual property, unquote. So, ActDef says in our chat, in summary, Nintendo does not want to set a precedent of using mods or illegal means to play a tournament like this. That's the crux of this. And there's a whole free Melee hashtag. And I can understand that, you know, hey, there's a pandemic going on. We can't get together. I completely get that. I can also understand Nintendo's side of this, because even if you think it shouldn't be illegal, it is currently illegal to pirate video games. But you're going to be like, oh, Bobby, no. It is completely legal with fair use to make a backup of a game that you already own. Yes. So are you going to guarantee to Nintendo that every single player in this tournament is going to get the hardware necessary to put in their owned Super Smash Brothers Melee original GameCube disc, put it in, and make their own copy of the game? Because that is what is legal. It is still not legal, even if you disagree, even if you think it should be legal, it is not legal for you to own the game and then go to the internet and download a copy of it, because that is not your backup. That's someone else's backup. You are allowed to make a backup for your personal use. You cannot get that backup from somebody else's backup. That's not how the law works. Do you think the law should be changed? I do too. But unfortunately, it's the law. And so what you need to do is you need to either convince your legislatures to work on the law, or you need to run yourself on the platform of you're going to get this law changed and actually participate in the political process yourself. So that's what you would need to do. But right now, it is illegal for you to do that, whether you agree with it or not. It is illegal to do that. And then there's also the wrinkle of, in order to make that backup, if you did have the equipment, you have to circumvent their encryption, which runs aground of the DMCA. So it is illegal for you to make that backup in terms of if you have to break the encryption. If you don't have to break the encryption, you can make the backup. But since you have to break the encryption on the GameCube disc to be able to get that in a form that Dolphin and then Slippy would be able to use, that circumvents this DMCA. And unless you are a museum doing video game preservation, you don't have an exemption for that. So I get the fact that everybody's like, this is crap, and I don't care if it's illegal, Nintendo should allow it, and they can't, unfortunately. And I get it. And I get that you're mad, and I get that you want a hashtag free melee. But unfortunately, this would open it up to run hacked versions of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And they don't want that. If they allow this, they have to allow every hack and modification. And they don't want to go down that road. And they, at the end of the day, have to protect their IP. And I know Nintendo has not done a great job of protecting their IP. I know a whole bunch of Twitch streamers got banned because they lived in Australia and got Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, at midnight, started streaming it, and got banned because it wasn't out in America yet. Yeah, Nintendo shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to defend Nintendo on that. I know Nintendo didn't allow EVO 2013 to run the tournament, run Smash Brothers originally. They shouldn't have done that. But this, I can't sit here and say they shouldn't have done that. If you want it to be legal to do this, get some way to get the law changed. And there are multiple avenues. Yes, Pele Hanamea says you can pay politicians money. Maybe that's what it's going to take. I mean, the FGC, esports, it's a $1 billion industry. Maybe take some of that $1 billion and get a lobbyist group to change the laws regarding copyright and intellectual property. Change the DMCA. Make it legal to be able to do these modifications. Change the law. Use some of that money. But don't sit here and say, well, I don't think it should be illegal, so I think they should be allowed to do it. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. I understand that there's going to be people that disagree with me, and I do wish that the tournament could have gone on, and I do understand that the reason they're using Slippy as well is because rollback netcode does not currently exist for Smash Bros. Ultimate, I'm pretty sure. And so I believe this mod also put in rollback netcode for Ultimate and made it more playable and acceptable to the fighting game community. And I think that's why they shut down both tournaments. But I don't have that for certain because I know they were running both Melee and Ultimate at this tournament, and they've shut down both tournaments. So I see why you're mad, and I see why Nintendo had to do what they had to do. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we will actually have time to take a call. If you go to vognetwork.com/discord, you can actually hop into our green room voice chat channel, and I will pull you into another room, and we can talk about stuff going on in the gaming industry. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/vognetwork.
I want to ride my chocobo all day. Can't get it out of my head.
Hey, this is Robbie Damon, the voice of all your favorite anime and video games, and you are participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Have fun, baby.
This sounds like you're having fun.
We are having fun. Robbie Damon, who is the voice of Spider-Man in the cartoons, the current animated Spider-Man. So that's why I was playing that, because the Spider-Man, he's not in the game, but he's Spider-Man in other stuff. So thank you for that. If you want to leave a voice, if you want to leave a bumper like that, you don't have to be a voice actor. All you got to do is contact me on Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. I'll tell you, like, you just got to send me something with just your voice. It could be audio. It can be video if you want. It's anything with just your voice. No music behind it, because I've got to make sure that I play stuff that's okay. And I don't want to get muted or anything like that. So, and I do want to mention once more, before we are actually going to get a call in a second, but, just to point out, at the beginning of the show, I did show off that we actually have a, merch store now, so you can actually buy some stuff. We haven't put too much in it, but, we are actually selling, Vogue logo face masks, which is probably timely right now. We do have one t-shirt in there that has the Vogue logo, like, on one shoulder, like, on the pocket area, but there's no pocket on the t-shirt. So it's not like big in your face. And then there's a mug that has the Bobby Black Wolf, the little Wolfie logo on it. That's all we got right now. We'll add more stuff to it, but it's at vognetwork.com/shop. And apparently I'm going to be adding several other variations of that, because like store and merch and stuff like that. And there are three shirts, because there are three colors. And the caveat there is I don't know how they look, because I haven't actually gotten the real versions yet. I've only seen the mock-ups. So, but thank you so much for supporting us, because we do actually make a little bit off of each sale, which helps run this company and helps us do things like flyers. And it goes back into the network, just like your bits and subscriptions and stuff do. So we do actually have a call. We're going to take a call from our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. We're going to bring him in, and we're going to see what he wants to talk about right here. So, Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Act Deft, what's up, man?
Well, nothing much. You were talking about the Big House Tournament and how Nintendo cease and desisted. And I agree totally with that, because they're in the right. And like I said in chat, they don't want to set up precedent about it. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much don't want to deal with any issue that may come with another tournament. Especially like this big the Big House is a really big tournament for the Melee community, Smash community in general. Mm-hmm. But they don't want something like this happening in Genesis, even like Evo. That's the main competition everyone looks forward to every year. Mm-hmm. But aside that, I want to talk about how Twitch streamers got banned because of playing a game one day early. Yeah. That's really, really curious issue too, and something I don't necessarily agree completely with Nintendo on this end. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm talking about this on a experience I had on Thursday too, because mm-hmm. I was watching one of the biggest streamers that was playing the game right at the moment when the DMCA and the ban pretty much struck. Mm-hmm. And it was like really like, wait, what happened? Why did Twitch do this? And it was weird not knowing what happened until a few minutes later. In this case, Reversal was streaming the game, and he tweeted on his account, "Oh, I got the ban. I got the DMCA strike because playing the game early." And it's curious because he lives in Europe, he lives in the Netherlands, the game was already out there. Mm-hmm. The game was already released over there.
Yeah.
It's like really baffling for Nintendo to do something like this when it's like pretty much legal. This is like something I really don't understand. But at the same time, I do get it that, yeah, there's a time limit that all people that want to stream the game had to wait until Friday when the whole world got mm-hmm. it and all that. But this is something that Nintendo needs to really fix and think about. And when it comes to these cases, because maybe it was only a slap on the wrist at this point, mm-hmm. but it was still like really worrisome for people because. Yeah. Yeah, it's I was watching a big Twitch streamer, but there were several other minor streamers that were also banned from the platform at least a day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like really worrisome that something like that didn't happen.
Yeah. So what happened is basically Nintendo of America shut them all down. Not, and I think they had like a timer set, like they had a bot that would check, and they're like, okay, the bot will stop checking when the game releases in America. The problem is the United States of America, because I know I just said America, and that includes two continents, by the way, but the United States of America is just one country out of like hundreds. It's a whole 3-minute Animaniacs song, if you want to know all of them. But Nintendo was saying, if it's not out in the United States, you can't stream it yet, which sucks because it legitimately was out in Australia, in Europe, in other places. But and just because they're streaming on Twitch doesn't mean they're from the United States. So I'm hoping it was just a bot gone wrong, because they don't have that many people that do that at the time. And that's what I'm hoping. That's the optimist in me.
Yeah, I also hope that, because it hasn't really happened like this. Like, like even with Pokemon games, there are people that play it 1-2 days earlier because they got it one way or another. But in this case, it looks, it's like really baffling because, like, again, we were saying it's a game that was already released overseas on other parts of the world, and and they can play it legally. They got it legally through legal means. They paid money to Nintendo,
What this underscores is the unfortunate fact that just because you bought the game to play yourself does not inherently give you a license to broadcast that game. And we exist here on Twitch and on YouTube and on Facebook Gaming and RIP Mixer, that we exist because the companies allow us more rights than we initially have. And sometimes, and they can at any time say, no, you can't. Even if the game is out. Hi, Atlas, how are you doing with those Persona games where, you know, you can't play, that you can't stream this game after a certain day in Persona 5? They are legally allowed to do that. If we don't like it here in the United States, I know that's not where you are, we need to get the law changed.
And it's pretty much the same in the rest of the world. It's not really that different, but but still, yeah, it's something that needs to be changed completely. At least not to like destroy or undermine the creator in this case, because even something like this, even one day of not of missing a stream, can hurt a lot of people in those cases, because some people do live from Twitch, some people do live from YouTube and all, and doing stuff here, playing games, and one day is one day they lose. So
But other companies have had the problem where a game got leaked or like or released early, broken street date. I want to say Kingdom Hearts 3 was one of these, because somebody stole them off the truck, basically, and started selling them on eBay. Square Enix cut down on, you know, cracked down on people streaming the game early before it came out, but it was, they had a worldwide launch. It was launched at the same time everywhere. So other companies have done this when something comes out early. Other games are like, oh, great, you got it early? Feel free to stream it. That's fine. But it's up to the company to say that it's okay. Even now, you do not have an inherent right to stream Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, even though it is out in the United States. Nintendo is just allowing you to at this point. And that's the thing, is that you, when you buy a game, you do not inherently have the right to broadcast it to the internet. You have the right to play it in your home, in a personal setting.
Which is all boys too, regarding also the Big House tournament. And And that's what people need to understand too. It's it's a complicated and frustrating issue. That's no lie.
Yeah. But and it shouldn't be illegal, but right now it is. That is how the law works. So instead of just saying, I wish it was legal, so I'm just going to do it anyway, we need to fix it. And we need to convince whoever's in charge, if that takes money, if that takes people getting involved, more involved in politics, that's what it's going to take.
And yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for the call. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what they're going to be talking about, even though we kind of went a little bit long tonight. I think it'll be okay. That was an important topic that I felt that we should talk about. So we like to check in with them and see what is going on. Sacramento, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Bobby.
First try. Works great.
Good.
So, you have any thoughts on the... Are you guys going to be talking about the Hyrule Warriors thing? Do you kind of agree with my assessment that it's like we're here because Nintendo allows us to be here and not they don't always allow us to be here?
Enough. I don't think the Hyrule Warriors story is actually on. We have a different Twitch story coming up tonight regarding Cyberpunk 2077, but it is interesting, Bobby. Some weeks our shows have a lot of overlap. I don't think we have a lot of overlap tonight. Which is strange because it wasn't exactly a huge news week. But anyway, I digress. Is it a surprise? No, we're all lucky to be able to do what we do on Twitch. And to some extent, it's a legal ticking time bomb. Now, the hope is, and you hit on it earlier in the show, and this is what has to happen, is that there has to be updates to the law. There has to be clarity. Yeah. There has to be some precedent in the legal element. The promising side of that is, and you know, I don't want to sound like I'm getting political here, but the fact is, when you have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, representative, who is getting in there and streaming, and if you want somebody from the other side, during her stream, Representative Justin Amash contacted her and was like, I want to get into doing this too. So, you know, wherever you're at politically, we're starting to get to an age where, you know, politicians are people that watch Twitch and actually use Twitch. So the hope is that some of these, you know, politicians will use that type of knowledge and experience to there in turn update some of our laws. I'm not sure this is something that's very high on either of their agendas, but that's where we come in and have to express our voices to our representatives for what are they going to do to modernize, you know, a century old copyright law that doesn't really take in to technology.
Yeah. So get involved. That's the thing, is you got to get involved, and there's a lot of apathy always from the young people. I remember I was apathetic, you know, when I was younger about all this. So,
And quickly, one other point, you know, as much as it stinks, like, you know, yes, we try to be very aware of the world. We're lucky here at Orange Lounge Radio and your show that we have a diverse audience, meaning we have folks from across the Atlantic who listen, not always live because of the time difference,
right.
But we have folks in Canada, we have folks in Mexico. So we have folks from different countries that do participate with the show. But the reality is, when it comes to the streaming issue, even if you're in Australia, you're going through an American company, Twitch. The American company is technically the one that's in violation of the DMCA. So it's a risk you take, you know, if you're in a different time zone, broadcasting using an American platform to do it.
And
sorry.
This is also
not
why
what you want to hear, but it's reality.
And it's also why, you know, everybody always rallies against, you know, they don't want the internet owned by a single country. And right now it isn't. There has been some politicians that have pushed that, you know, one country like the United States should own the internet and own the infrastructure. And I don't think that. And this is one of the reasons why Twitch is owned in the United States. So they're subject to United States laws, even if the user using it is not. So, so I finally get my Xbox Series X tomorrow.
So that's great news. Follow up to what we talked about last week. So the Xbox that I ordered from Amazon, which I in turn kind of helped another VOG participant get theirs because they weren't able to get one through the pre-order game. So I was like, hey, so I put out that tweet and I was, you know, they responded and I agreed to help them out. So long story short, that Xbox, when I talked to you last week, was supposed to get here on Tuesday. They delayed it again, but it did get here Friday.
Okay.
And the buyer showed up yesterday. And as far as I know, everything's going well. I imagine if there had been any problems with the system, I probably would have got a tweet. But they're probably too busy gaming on it.
Yep. Well, I'm looking forward to finally getting it and getting it all hooked up and playing Forza Horizon 4 on it, because that's the game that I'll play on it.
I will warn you about this. The packaging was ridiculous. So they took the Xbox box and put it in a much larger cardboard box with a little bit of paper in it, which does nothing because it was a little bit of paper. It wasn't enough to properly pad the space. And then they barely taped it down. The tape was coming off to the point where Alan was like, has that thing already been opened? Now, the good news is the important part, the actual Xbox box, all the stickers were still on it. And I knew already from having opened mine, there is a ton of padding inside that actual Xbox box because somebody at Microsoft was very smart and knew those machines would get thrown around and tossed around. So there is a lot of padding in there. But I was, again, very disappointed in how dumb Amazon was in their handling.
And I will say the PS5 was the same way.
Oh, good.
But in terms of I thought maybe it had already been opened, the tape was coming up a little bit, except for the PS5, they didn't put any paper in it. The Xbox Series X, they put one little thing of paper in there. My PS5 was just in the box by itself. There was nothing else in the box with it. Because the PS5 is a bigger box.
Yikes. So.
But it came fine. And also, I have this being delivered to the VOG mailbox. So it's not going to be on my porch. Because the PS5 I had delivered here, but that way, like, it's less likely a porch pirate's going to come by. So I'm going to actually go take it and pick it up at the UPS store where our mailbox is.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to be doing with this one.
Yeah, with us working from home, I was like, I just deliver it on the porch. Well, but they didn't ring the doorbell or anything. No. So if I had not gotten that little alert from Amazon that said, your package was just delivered, I would have never known it was here. So
Yeah. Well, and mine's coming. The Xbox Series X is apparently coming post office. So they're doing the last mile with the United States Postal Service.
Oh, okay.
So it would have come here with the mail. But now it's going to go there, and then I'll go mask up and drive, and you know, not with a VOG mask because I don't have the VOG mask yet. But I'll mask up and drive up and pick it up. So,
well, very curious to hear your thoughts when it comes in.
Yep. All right. What else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
We're going to talk about Animal Crossing. You know, Dark Soccer loves her Animal Crossing, and there is a pretty meaty update that just came out for that and some other stuff in the future. We're going to talk about the Game Awards. The nominees came out for the Game Awards, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And we'll talk about a possible Game Pass competitor coming to PlayStation, not what's already there. You might be saying, but they already announced their Game Pass competitor. There might be a little something else, so we'll talk about that tonight.
And the Game Awards, it's basically... All the categories are games that are saying, we're so glad Cyberpunk 2077 was delayed because they now all have a chance. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
All right. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific with an Xbox Series X. So yes, even though it is the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States, hopefully you've made good choices and you've done a proper risk assessment if you are seeing people. I hope you've already been isolated for 10 days so far. You should have started isolating two Thursdays ago. We will still be here on Sunday night. I'll talk about the Xbox Series X. And maybe if I get the Outrun cabinet by then, I don't know. But we will be back then here at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel. Come join us directly. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch, BobbyBlackWolf. I don't update any of those, really. I don't, and I'm not streaming the Xbox Series X on Twitch because, like, when you're in the setup, it shows, like, personal information. I don't need you seeing my personal email address and stuff like that. But Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf, that's where you're going to find pictures and video and stuff of some stuff. I'm not doing a full unboxing. If you want an unboxing video, go to youtube.com/blackcompat. They have BC Row over there has a unboxing video for the Xbox Series X. So I don't have to do it. You can watch theirs. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the supporters. And we actually had a hype train going at the beginning because a bunch of people resubscribed because we're coming on to our second year here at Twitch. We started in December of 2018, moved our shows to Twitch after we've been on internet radio, me since 2005, OLR since 2002. So we're reaching that 2-year mark, and there are people that have been subscribed since the beginning, Act Deft, Fifth Dream, and Orange Wright, almost 2 years, they resubscribed. Rob gifted 5 subs to the community, so congrats Under the Pale, Player 2 Star, Chad Starzik, Ikuma JP, and Swong Tong. Congrats on your gifted subs. from Rob. Rob also bought some shirts and some he bought a mask and two shirts. So he's buying some new shirts from our shop, vognetwork.com/shop. We have some merch on there. And if you buy it during the show, we have a little ticker at the bottom. It actually shows on the ticker. So you're outed that way. But it's all obviously up at during the week and any other time. And Loki resubscribed, and he said, Twitch put a gun to my head to share this. Send help. Thank you so much. And then we also did get some follows. Kate Catastrophe followed. Anime Jam Session finally followed. Thank you so much. I think they were followed before, and they might have accidentally unfollowed. That's what that was. And then WonderJ786 followed during the show. Thank you so much for all that. So I'm going to now hit the button to play the music to play us out. And I'll see you guys next week with an Xbox Series X. So I'll fully join the next gen. All right. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Make good choices this week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.